Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn.
Welcome, I'm Dr. Richard Tooley, and with me today is Jeannie Nigro, and I want to welcome you.
Thank you, Richard. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So we're going to jump right into things here. Can you give us a little background? What you do largely is working with corporate America and or corporate world.
Actually, I was involved in the corporate world for about 20 years, but then for the past 10 years, I've been focused on full-time ministry. So my ministry is to not just the corporate world, but more so really now churches, congregations, retreats, conferences, so the body of Messiah all across the world.
How did you get the call to transition out of corporate world into ministry? There's got to be a story there.
There is, Richard. There's a story. Well, actually, you know, the whole time I was in the corporate world, like I said, it was about 20 years, I was searching for truth. I didn't know Jesus then. I didn't know God. I didn't believe in God then. So that whole time I was really searching for purpose and trying to find a career that I believed in, that my heart was into. So I changed careers many times. And so that whole time I was searching, and eventually, I believe as anyone who searches for truth long enough, you'll eventually find truth in God. Turn to the Lord, turn my life over to Him, because I got to the point where I wanted to kill myself, actually, because my world just crashed in on me. So I gave my life, asked God to take control of my life, and He did. And it was after that point that, because I had been searching so long for truth, when I found it, that's all I wanted to do was be in ministry. But God has a plan, just like He did with Moses. And so it took about another 20 years of God working in me and refining me and so forth. And I still worked in the corporate world for quite a while, but was really longing to be in ministry. And then finally, about 10 years ago, was able to switch into a full-time ministry type of a role. So it's been coming for a long time.
So let's go into a little bit of the focus of your ministry.
Mm-hmm.
How would you prioritize your ministry's focus?
Well, I would prioritize my ministry's focus is by the name of my radio and television program, which is Facets of the Stone. And Facets of the Stone refers to the facets of God's heart. And I believe my heart is, or my passion is, that I would help others to experience all of the facets of God's heart. Because I think sometimes we just focus on maybe one scripture or one aspect of Him. Maybe it's all love, or maybe it's all wrath, or maybe it's just His holiness. But to really experience all the aspects, all the facets of His heart, that would include, how does He see you? How does He see others? How does He see Israel? How does He, what's His heart for the end times, for the millennium, for the biblical feasts, for the Jewish people? So what are all these aspects of His heart? What does it mean that He's holy and loving and just and grace at the same time? You know, so I really have a heart that people just experience more of God, experience intimacy with Him, experience His love for them, and to be led by Him in everything that they think and do and say.
So as I've read through the information here that I've been provided,
sure.
I notice you come from a Jewish background.
Actually, I was raised Catholic, but I do have Jewish blood. I've learned later in life. I didn't know anything about my Jewish blood until much later. Actually, it came about, God uses everything for good. My daughter, through some special needs that she had, attended a Jewish preschool that was geared toward her needs. And through that, I started learning about the feasts, and then I took her to a Messianic Passover Seder, started learning about the Jewish roots of our faith, and then started attending a Messianic congregation. This is about 10 years ago, and really started to, the Lord gave me an expertise in the Jewish roots of our faith, and so a lot of my teachings do focus on the Jewish roots of our faith, and not just head knowledge, but what are these roots, or Jewish roots, what do these feasts tell us about who God is? What do they tell us about how He sees you and sees us, and then how does that bring healing to our hearts, and how does that bring intimacy with Him?
Because that really would inform your Christianity, is to understand that Jewish part of it. I mean, Paul
well,
and
Jesus
Romans,
is
of
Jewish.
Course. Yes.
He's Jewish, and many things that he said were in a Jewish, obviously a Jewish context to Jewish people, but everything that he said. And a lot of things that he said that we quote most frequently from Jesus, those red letters in the Bible, really took place or were said with the backdrop of the feast. So as you understand the feast, the meaning of what Jesus said just has so much more depth to it, and we grow in intimacy with him that way. Just like if we had a spouse where we didn't know anything about him or her, and why did they say those things, and then we learned about their family, we learned about where they're from, we go to their hometown, we're like, oh, that's what that means when they say that. So you go in intimacy with someone the more you know about them and their background.
Yeah, it would do tremendous good for people to understand that, because the Bible is written much more idiomatically than we'd like to give it credit
exactly.
for being written.
I can't tell you, Richard, the times I've said, you know, why doesn't Jesus just come out and say what he's trying to say? Why does he say it this way or that way? And then when you understand the Jewish idioms and the culture and that his listeners, his followers, we're getting so much more from what he said than we do sometimes, and that he was so many times clearly saying that he was the Messiah because of what they understood, knowing the feast and knowing the Jewish history.
Yeah, I find it interesting, as I've been studying this topic, when you read through the Matthew story of Jesus and you read through both Matthew and Mark especially, if you're careful to read it, you recognize that there was a huge following waiting for the Messiah in Jerusalem. It wasn't just 12 people.
Exactly.
It was 1,000 who understood that this was the time for the Messiah. This was the Messiah that was coming. And I think that was evidenced at the Day of Pentecost.
Absolutely. And you know, it's so fascinating and exciting, especially with these uncertain times, Richard, is that the spring feasts were fulfilled. Passover and First Fruits and Shavuot or Pentecost were fulfilled with Jesus' first coming. But the fall feasts, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot, will be fulfilled with his second coming. And so he, as you study the spring feast and you learn how perfectly, and especially Passover, there's just millions of examples of how perfectly he fulfilled every detail, and every time, the timing was so perfect. And it gives us strength and hope for the future, because things are changing every day, and there's so much uncertainty. So when there's something certain, like Jesus is going to fulfill these feasts perfectly and in the perfect timing, so every year when Rosh Hashanah comes around and Yom Kippur and Sukkot, we're just given that anchor for our soul that we don't have to fear, because we know that he's coming back and we know he's going to fulfill these feasts perfectly. And it gives us hope for the future, and it gives us strength for today.
Yeah, it actually grounds us quite
exactly.
a bit. So now we're going to move. I want to move back around, because we understand that there's a grounding that comes from, and it informs our life, is our spirituality, our probably the word that people don't like to hear, our religion.
Mm-hmm.
But religion does have a place. You know, a religion without spirituality is a dead religion, but a religion with spirituality is a alive, vibrant thing.
Absolutely.
And it does inform us. It informs our life as we go forward, because it gives us grounded points upon which to talk. Now, you moved from a corporate world into a ministry. Do you bring with you into your ministry any of the grounding from the corporate world? Did you bring those two together in your ministry?
Absolutely, Richard. I believe that God uses everything for good. Even when we're in a season when I used to cry, I want to be in ministry, you know, and now I look back and think, boy, God knew what he was doing. Thank God he didn't switch and didn't transition me any sooner than he did. He's got perfect timing for everything. But in a few ways, I mean, one with just organization skills, being able to organize my teachings. A lot of times I hear my teachings are very clear, easy to follow. You know, I think that just comes from years of experience of I did a lot of corporate training. Oftentimes when I do a lot of public speaking now and I'm on my feet and there's different challenges that come up that I'm not expecting, or questions that come up from my audience, and I'm just used to having how to answer those questions and how to think quickly on my feet. And so I find those skills come back, just basic presentation skills that I had to learn in a corporate world come back. And then also I have those who are in my teachings know I love to give out handouts, and people really appreciate my notes and how organized they are, and I think that it comes from the corporate background and being able to manage projects now, being able to manage my schedule. And I used to travel a lot as a consultant, and now I travel as a speaker. So all of those things that I experienced, like everything in life, and like we see with Moses, were really preparing me for what God had for me. And when, to be honest, you know, Richard, when I started training and doing all that I did in the corporate world, I had no experience in that. Before I was a believer, one of my biggest fears was public speaking. I was terrified of public speaking. I mean, going through college, I would change majors based on whether I had to take a speech class or not. So that tells you how it was one of my greatest fears. So it just shows you how God can be strong in your weakness and turn sometimes our biggest, deepest wounds and fears, he turns into our greatest strengths.
It also shows God has a sense of humor.
He does. He does. I mean, if someone would have asked me 30 years ago or told me I would be speaking, I would tell them they were crazy.
Well, we're going to take a break right now.
All
and
right.
When we come back, we're going to delve into some of the issues of where this world's going and how we play a role in it.
Sounds good.
He's so into sports, he must be a pea-brained jock. He wears nothing but black, he must be depressed. She wears so much makeup, she must be a stuck-up wannabe. That's right, stereotypes. When you label each other just for their appearances or habits, stereotypes can really hurt others and make them view themselves in a downgrading way. Even when you're just joking, it can still affect someone. Like calling someone a nerd just because they got a good grade in a test can make them feel self-conscious about themselves and possibly make them stop trying so hard at getting good scores. So remember, labeling people is wrong. And if you notice others or yourself stereotyping people, please, put a stop to it.
This Kids Talk moment was brought to you by Baltimore White Marsh Adventist School. For more information, go to www.bwmschool.org. You've been listening to Homeschool Companion. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Be sure and like us on Facebook at Homeschool Companion, or partner with us. Send us a contribution or a show suggestion at P.O. Box 413, Smithsburg, Maryland, 21783, or call us at 301-824-3162.
Okay, welcome back. I'm Dr. Richard Tooley, and with me is Jeannie Nigro. And we've been talking about how good God has been to us and her path to where she is now. We want to take this time now to begin to address where we are in the world. So, where are we? Other than here in beautiful
NRB.
Nashville,
yes.
NRB.
Good question, Richard. I believe that we really are in what the Bible calls the end times. I mean, I can't tell you when Jesus is coming back. No one knows the day or the hour, but just based on how quickly things are changing and how what's going on in the Middle East, what's going on with our morality, with terrorism, just all the different factors and things that are changing in the world, it's happening at such a rapid pace that we've never seen before, that I believe that he is coming soon. I don't know if it's this week or in 100 years, but it seems to be in our lifetime or possibly the next generation or so.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. I've never, in all of the history I've studied and in all of my life, seen kinds of confluence of events happening as are
so
happening
quickly.
Now. One of the big things is just culture, the shift in culture. Community now is wrapped up in cyberspace much more than it is in neighborhoods.
Exactly.
So with that cyberspace also comes this lack of humanity for humanity. Does this fit into what you're doing when you go to address people, you know, this uncertainty that they experience? How do you help them, particularly as Christians today, which seemingly are coming under stronger attack? That may or may not be the case, but it does appear that way, or it certainly feels that way at times.
Absolutely.
How do you help them have a voice in the community?
Well, Richard, it's really been the focus of my teaching, I would say, the past few years. I never saw myself as a end times teacher, but God's really shifted my passion that way, I think, because it's in alignment with his heart to prepare the church for his return. And one of the, I just wrote a book called Unshaken, Standing Strong in Uncertain Times, because I have a passion to mobilize the church out of fear and passivity, because I believe that, I know I experienced it, and so this is what I'm writing and speaking out of, is that we hear the news, you know, we watch the news on the television, we're inundated with internet articles, with fear, and we can really get to a place of paralysis from fear. And also of, or we can just be passive and say, you know, this is too much. Things are just, you know, gone too crazy. I'm just going to wait for Jesus to come back. There's nothing I can do. And that's from the enemy, because I believe that he wants us, obviously fear is not from God, and giving up is not from God. The enemy wants to always halt our progress as Christians. And so I teach a lot on fear and how that is from the enemy, and how do we break through fear, and what are the lies that we're believing about ourselves and about God when we fear and stress. I teach a lot on spiritual warfare, because I believe that, as you mentioned, the battle is getting more hotter, more intense every day. Darkness is increasing on this earth, and we need to be equipped. Well, we are equipped. What we need to do is be aware of the spiritual weapons of warfare that God's given us. What are they, and how do we use them? And how do we stand strong in these times? Because God's not given us a spirit of fear. He's not called us to be fearful or passive in these times, but he's called us to have a voice to increase righteousness. You know, we have a choice every moment to either increase the enemy's reign on this earth or increase Jesus' reign on this earth. And so I like to start it out right from what we can control, things like our thoughts and emotions and our words. How do those increase Jesus' reign? And how does breaking through fear and unforgiveness and bitterness and self-condemnation, how does breaking through those things increase Jesus' reign over your heart and then over this earth? Because we can increase his reign. There's a lot we can do to increase righteousness now, and we need to use our voice. That's how immorality has gotten to where it has, because they've used their voice and Christians have not. And so I believe that as God called us, just like we take a look at the parable of the talents, the servant who didn't do anything, who just waited for the master return, was called a wicked servant and thrown into the lake of fire. So that shows us that he's not calling us to give up. He's not calling us to just wait it out. He's calling us to have a voice. But first, we have to have intimacy with him, because it's all got to come from intimacy with him. We need to use our spiritual weapons of warfare, and we need to have a voice and increase righteousness. Because you know what? Even if we don't see the impact now, Richard, when Jesus comes back and he sets up his millennial kingdom, we will be ruling and reigning with him, implementing righteousness across the earth. So what we do now for righteousness will continue on in the millennium. So our efforts are never wasted. Even if we don't see the results right now, we'll see the results in the millennium. And that's exciting to me. That gives me, again, excitement and hope for the future and strength. And it gives me direction for today. It's like, what is on Jesus' heart? We can tell by what he's going to be doing in the millennium. He's going to be increasing righteousness. So I want to fight for righteousness now. And that would be in our schools, education, all areas.
You meant your book, Unshaken.
Mm-hmm.
Where can people get that?
That will be Unshaken, Standing Strong in Uncertain Times, will be released in the fall, Richard, through Destiny Image. So I think initial printing is August and official release is October. And when that comes out, it will be available in bookstores everywhere, Christian bookstores, on the internet, Amazon, all places that books are usually sold.
We'll have people keep looking. They should put the request into Amazon, let Amazon tell them when it's coming out.
Absolutely, absolutely. They send those emails ahead of time, absolutely. And then also I will obviously be advertising it on Facebook, on my Facebook page, and on my website, jeannynigro.com.
You know, as we think about individuals who today are faced with this uncertainty, I mean, it is quite an uncertain world out there.
Every day.
It was very interesting to me. I spent some time in Germany following the trail of Luther.
Oh, okay.
And actually what we did is we had a Hitler and Luther path to follow, which, because if you look at them and you juxtapose them to each other, they create stark contrasts in the trajectory of their lives and what they did to the world, actually. So it really, really contrasted for us. What was fascinating about Germany at that time is how deeply hidden their Christianity is, their religion is. It is still, to this day, deeply hidden. And as I came back here, it struck me that our Christianity is beginning to get deeply hidden here. You see people now who mention the name of Jesus in public and then look around to see who's offended by it.
The tolerance.
And in our public schools,
yes,
we can't have anything about the name of Jesus or prayer or any of these things. And of course, I'm not advocating that we breach laws, but I think there's certain intelligence that needs to go into some of these laws, and it's not there.
Mm-hmm. We need to be aware of what laws are being passed.
Yes, we need to be much more aware of that. Now, you think about that uncertainty that we as individuals feel. Parents not only have that uncertainty for themselves, but how can they inoculate their kids? How can they prepare their kid for what their children face when they go into this school environment, which the parent really has very little control over?
Mm-hmm.
How can they prepare their children to continue on a path that is not going to be turned to the right or to the left as a result of the influences that come in? And it's not the school's fault, but it's just something that happens in society.
Right.
How can parents help children not to have that uncertainty?
Right. Well, Richard, this is what I like to do, even with my own daughter, is that I am aware that, well, everyone, but especially our youth these days, they are just inundated with so many messages from the media, from the internet, from their Snapchat and Instagram and all the things that we didn't have when we were growing up that make their lives even more stressful, really, than they used to be. And when we thought it was difficult to go to high school when we were young, and now with all the pressures that they have through social media, it just compounds everything. But they receive so many messages about God, about themselves, about their worth, about their sexuality, and they, if they're not aware, they're going to just take in whatever messages they receive. And so what I think that is helpful for parents to do is to just discuss with them, what message are you getting from that? Or as you watch the news together, what message is that sending about who God is? What message is that sending about your worth? You know, what message is that sending about you? So that they can begin to see, first we have to be aware, you know, before we can do anything. And I think to help our children to just be aware of the lies in the messages that they're receiving about themselves, about God, about the Jewish people, about Israel. There's just so many lies in the media, in the schools. And I think as we can just have discussions with them, as the news comes up or as things happen, what is that saying about God? And then we can realize, then we can be aware of the lies, and then we can go forward. Well, then what can we do? You know, can we say anything about that in the school? Or can we post something on social media about that? Or can, you know, so there are things that we can do, but I think first we need to take responsibility to take the time to help our children to be aware of the messages they're receiving and the lies that they're receiving, the lies in those messages about their worth or about their acceptance if they believe something about God. Because I think if they are starting to think, well, I have to hide my faith because if I don't, I won't be accepted. Or if I don't, I won't have worth. Or I won't, you know. And so we need to discuss those lies with our children and what are the messages that they're getting, and have discussions about that.
So basically, parents, be involved in your children's lives. Be educated yourself. Well, we have to come to a close now. But before we do, is there a way people can get in touch with you if they want to bring a seminar into their church or any other?
Absolutely, Richard. My website is Jeannie Nigro. It's JeanneNigro.com. And on there you can find many of my teachings that do with breaking, healing strongholds of the heart, the biblical feast, the millennium, all the temple, many teachings that all bring us into intimacy with God. And there's opportunities there to invite me to speak at your church or retreat or congregation conference, and to email me and to be in touch with me.
Okay, well, thank you very much for taking the time to be with us today.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me, Richard.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.